Hello and welcome to Curiously Enough. This is a space to shine a light on the shadows we hide in. This is a conversation to relieve the heaviness of silenced topics. Here's to getting honest and getting real, feeling inspired and less alone. Thank you for joining me on this road to rediscovering the truth of who we are. Everyone, it's just me this week. Well, just me and you. No interview or expert chatting with us today. I decided that it might be important to take some time to reflect on a specific topic that I find very helpful and one that I repeatedly have to go back to and learn about in order to walk freely as myself and connect with others. And that topic is compassion. I, for quite some time, didn't know what compassion was. You know, we hear these words, sympathy and empathy, and there's a big difference between those two terms, and I would equate empathy with compassion. I think sympathy is more so feeling pity or sorry for someone, and empathy or compassion is, you know, the word I'm going to use today, is putting ourselves in someone's shoes, is living in their skin and their life in our mind so we can understand exactly what they're going through and connect our own experiences so that we can better understand them and express that we understand them. Compassion is not easy, and so by talking about it, I hope to shine some light on it and also in the process remind myself, because it becomes complex because there's also self-compassion too, and so there's a lot of facets of compassion, but I'm just gonna talk to the best of my ability about this and kind of share my experience with it. The disclaimer here is that I still run into moments where I'd rather judge someone than feel compassion, and there are plenty of times when I'd rather judge myself than feel compassion for myself. But I think the idea is that when we become aware of what compassion is, have a better understanding of what it is, we're more likely to express it. Compassion is like a switch in our emotional breaker system, you know? So once we know it's there, we have the ability to go back and kind of turn that on. The thing is, when we're not in compassion, we're most likely in judgment. We're blaming or judging on why someone's annoying or how they've harmed us in some way, or we don't like the way that they live and how they do things is just wrong. And when we're in that mindset, we can't simultaneously be in a compassionate mindset. They're very different. They're opposites. And so with that awareness and with that in mind, I have to often ask myself, why am I unable to feel compassion for this person? And usually it's because judgment is the wall that's in front of me. And in order to not judge, I need to put myself in their shoes. And I need to say, okay, well, what would it be like to be them in this particular situation? Say someone, said something really rude to me and I was offended. If I put myself in their shoes, I might find that, well, I know this about them, and this about them. So I know that if they're being rude, it's probably because they're hurting and they're defending themselves. And with that knowledge, even just that small bit of insight, I can say, oh yeah, I know what that feels like. And they, in defending themselves, I understand that. Maybe it's not right and I'm not condoning it, but I can feel compassion for them anyway, because that's really hard. And based on my experience, I know it's hard. The other piece of this is, if we're judging other people, we're judging ourselves. And if we're judging ourselves, then we're not being honest or kind. And we're going to have moments of this. I think we all do. But it's just constantly reminding ourselves and going back to this idea of, can I be honest with myself so that I can feel compassion for myself? To feel compassion or self-compassion, there's an acknowledgement of the idea of being human and understanding what that means. And so if we see someone in pain, by feeling compassion, we're recognizing that they're human. And so self-compassion equally performs that same act. It's the same pattern of noticing the humanity in ourselves so that we can say, oh, this is really hard. And what can I do to take care of myself right now? Or what's the best step I can take moving forward after this painful moment or discomfort, you know, et cetera. So they're very linked. They're very similar. Self-compassion is just dealing with ourselves. Compassion is dealing with others. But I would like to share a story. It's a great explanation of compassion. And it's something that I experienced when I was writing my book. And there's a whole chapter on compassion in the book, which was awesome because when I went in to talk to this person, I was recommended to talk with a man named D. I was told that he had an incredible story and I should, you know, talk with him. And my book has a collection of other people's stories that I know. So I went into this meeting with this man named D, thinking that I was going to get this moving story. And instead, not only did I, you know, take this story of his and put it in the book, and it's incredible. It's very inspirational, but also we shared a moment and it really exemplifies the power of compassion. So I'm told to meet with him. And so I go and I meet him at a diner and it's dinner time. And I go to shake his hand and he's like, no, give me a hug. And he wraps me in this bear hug. And I could see, I just, and feel his spirit. Like he was a good human being and just one of those people that is really good at spreading joy and affirming others. You kind of know when you're around them, like their energy helps other people's energy go up. He just had that vibe about him. And so I'm kind of already thinking like, wow, what am I going to learn from him? What's his story? I was kind of getting excited. And mind you, he's 6 feet tall. He's really skinny. So I'm following him into this diner. Again, just super curious. And we go inside and he's like asking the waitress, you know, questions about herself and, you know, saying these corny jokes and she's smiling and laughing. And I just keep getting this energy from him. Like he's just so kind and loving and my gosh, he's so happy. Like I can't, you know, I can't believe it. He's in his 60s and I know we're going to talk about recovery and I'm thinking, I know he's got some recovery time, but my God, like he's really happy. So we're sitting there and he says to me like, listen, I got to tell these jokes and kind of converse with people in this loving way because people might be scared of me. And he's kind of like stroking his beard and I'm like, well, why? And he said, well, you know, the beard and everything. And I said, well, what about it? And mind you, it's dyed bright orange. So it's pretty obvious. It's one of the first things you notice about him. And he tells me that it's part of his religion. And in his religion, the coloring of the beard distinguishes the enemies from the followers. And then he says, yeah, there's another part of it, but I don't think it would be just or right to say something that I don't know, to pretend that I know something that I don't. And I was like, wow, a lot of integrity here. Okay, still super curious and really honored to be around him. So he's pouring his coffee and about 10 sugars, which I'm also curious about that, but I don't ask about it. And he orders some pancakes for dinner. And as he's pouring the syrup on, he says, I haven't really been eating well. I've been feeling pretty depressed. And I don't really dig into the comment because it's personal, but I kind of nod my head and I say, I understand, I've been there. And then he proceeds to tell me a little bit more about what this means to him. And he says, well, I have friends and they only call me when they need another guy for a game of poker. And then he goes on to kind of explain that they have more money than him and they spend it in ways that he chooses not to. And they get money from the VA because they're veterans with federal benefits and he's not. So he has to save his money for other purposes. And he's just saying that that's what they do together. They go out and they spend money. And then he goes on and he says, listen, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And I know this difference and I had to learn that. And I like being by myself, but it feels lonely when I don't get calls from people that I consider my friends. And he said, you know, for a while, I didn't know why this bothered me, but now I know that this is an area I need to work on. And he goes on to say that this is what recovery means to him. It's bettering himself, becoming less self-centered, and getting honest about what he's going through. And then he starts describing his childhood, and he tells me that his younger brother was given more attention from his mother than was given to him. And so this situation has actually traveled up until now and still affects him in his 60s. And he explains that he journals about it, you know, about these parallels of being a child and not receiving attention, and now with this experience. He tells me that he talks about it with his spiritual mentor, and he kind of recognizes that the pain he's suffering from in this current dilemma is rooted in some really old stuff and old baggage. And as he's talking, I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah, man, I've been through this. You know, even I'm in my 20s, but friendships can be really difficult, especially when you don't feel like you're included. And this has been a big part of my story. And I'm about to tell him this and go on to share some insight that I've had recently when he takes the words right out of my mouth. And he says, someone told me that maybe they don't want to hang out with me because they want what I have. And he says, not my shoes, although I have nice shoes. And he laughs and he says, they want the contentment I have, but to be around me would mean that they'd have to look at their own shit. And if it's not comfortable for them, they just don't ask to hang out with me. And I reach across the table and I grab his hand and I tell him, I was just going to tell you that. I had the same experience. And sometimes it's not that there's something wrong with us. It's just that it's the way people react to who we are. And some people don't want to be around people that are growing. And the hardest part is to have compassion for those people. And I tell them, like, I've been there, it sucks, and I'm learning to have compassion from that place of understanding what it must be like for them. And he's like, man, you're saying what I just said. This is crazy. Like, how can we be so alike? We just met. And so we're sitting there and we're laughing and we're just kind of noticing the humanity in one another. It was a beautiful moment. And it was one, I haven't had something quite like that. You know, he is a black 6-year-old Muslim and I'm a white 20-year-old non-religious woman. He was eating pancakes. I was eating a salad. He had been to prison. I have not. He was homeless. I was not. But we shared the same human pain of loneliness. We shared the same battle of addiction. And so we both have tried to find these outside pieces to fit the empty ones on the inside. And that's what we were able to connect with. Our needs and our feelings were the same. We'll be right back after this quick announcement. What's really fascinating about this is that if we had tried to talk about this before he or I got sober, it wouldn't have happened. Because, not because we've just gotten sober, but because the process of recovery allows you to look within and learn about yourself. And so by doing so, we both know what compassion is. We both know what self-compassion is. And we both know the harm that comes from judgment. And so by recognizing that, we're able to have this connection and this moment and a friendship. Like, now we're friends. It's awesome. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't meet at that diner and have that conversation. And he told me that before he started healing, he said, I had to make sure I came after you before you came after me, because that's how he stayed alive. And I too was more defensive because I was in a mode of protection. So to think that we could have had that conversation a while ago, it probably wouldn't have gone that way. And so the work led us to be connected, to have the conversation. Our walls weren't up. We were able to be vulnerable. Compassion is the ability not to share differences, but instead focus on the similarities. We were able to see the truth in one another because we felt and expressed compassion. It was easy to reach over the table and say, I was going to tell you that I've felt the same way. It hasn't always been easy to do that, to reach over and say, yes, me too. But the work that I had done up to that point, it felt easy to do that. Again, not always. And for him too. And we had a conversation about that. I think there's another piece of compassion that I've experienced where if we give so much compassion to someone without setting up a boundary, there is an opportunity for something to go wrong. And I'll explain what that means. If we feel compassion towards someone, we're showing that we understand how they feel. We understand what their situation might be like. Maybe not the details. Maybe we haven't been in that exact circumstance, but we have a similar moment that we can relate to that. And we express that to them. We express not that we feel sorry or feel bad for them, but that we understand what it's like. And it breeds less loneliness and less shame and more connection. But if this person doesn't see that you have boundaries as well, healthy ones, what happens is there can be enmeshment. There can be too much attachment. And compassion can, you can give so much and give as much as you want for as long as you want, days on end, every time you talk to a person. But if you don't have a boundary up to protect you, defensive mode, but in a safe mode, that can become harmful. If we express compassion for someone that's going through a hard time and then we start helping them and advocating for them and putting ourselves in their life to be of service more, there needs to be a boundary, because if there's not, we may become resentful or judgmental because they're not heeding our advice or taking our suggestions or listening to our recommendations. And by default, we move out of being compassionate. And so with a boundary, we are mindfully saying to ourselves and setting an intention that I am going to express compassion. I'm going to be of service to this person because I care for them and I want the best for them. But I understand as I move forward with this person and loving on them that they may not want to take my advice. I need to respect that. And also I need to respect myself enough that my involvement may not need to go any further than expressing compassion, because I may be doing a disservice to them. And therefore I'm sucking myself dry and this person may become an energy vampire, if you've heard that term. So, compassion, give it to everyone, give it to, I love it. I think it could heal so many people. It's been such a big part of my story, but there's that little facet of protect yourself, not for defense, but for safety. You need to have enough compassion for yourself too. I wish that I could give very specific examples of what this looks like. When your meter goes to 65% compassion, that's when your boundary enters. It's really not that exact. It's a feeling and it's a knowing of yourself of how much can you take? How much can you be there for a person before you need to back up and take some time for yourself? Because the reality is when you are in compassion, you are feeling your own shit. And you can't do that all the time. You have to step back and recharge, some self-care, some self-love, some relaxing. Compassion requires you to feel. Sometimes feelings are hard to feel. If you're not up for full-blown compassion, maybe you only give 10% of, hey, I hear you. I totally understand where you're at. And that was a really hard moment when I was in that too. But right now I'm taking a bubble bath and I'll call you later. Again, that's the best example I can give right now, but it's a matter of knowing your boundaries, knowing your limits, and also understanding that self-compassion is just as monumental, important, significant, special, magical as compassion. They are both required for connection. We can't bring compassion without our own story. I mean, think about it. If someone is sitting across from you, let's say at a diner, or a restaurant, or out to coffee, and they say, man, I just broke up with my significant other, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. They were my life, and I have to move out of their apartment now, and it was really messy breakup. If you don't want to bring your story into that, how can you tell that person, I understand how you feel, you're not alone, and it's okay. Where you're at is totally okay. How? In order to do those things, we have to bring our story, like a briefcase that we kind of throw on the table, open up and say, yep, I went through a bad breakup once, and I'm willing to feel those feelings for this moment to make you feel less alone. I'm okay with that. And I'm a brave enough person to do that. And so in that relationship, in this briefcase that I'm showing you, that is my story, it was really hard for me. And although I didn't live with that person, I still had to cut some ties. And it wasn't as messy as that particular part you're talking about, but I had the same exact fear about blah, blah, blah. Right? The story of who we are is an integral part in feeling compassion. Something really fascinating I learned, which is along these lines, is that minimizing is not compassion. And once you notice this, it's hard to unnotice it. I heard once that saying to someone, well, at least, yada, 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 saying that at least part is minimizing. Well, at least you didn't lose all your money. Well, at least you're single now. Well, at least you still get the kids. Well, at least you still have your job. That may be so, but that person doesn't need to hear that because most likely they're bringing it up because they want to be heard and seen, understood. I think it's really hard for us because we want to make other people feel better. If they're sharing their suffering, they're asking for compassion, and yet often we respond with, well, at least it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out, and you don't ever have to go back to him ever again, or you don't ever have to go back to that job ever again. Yeah, maybe that piece comes later in expressing that, but a person bringing their suffering to the table, offering it vulnerably to you, is not a call for pity, and it is not a call to make it better with a bow on top. It is a call to be seen, heard, and understood, as is our own discomforts in life when we judge ourselves. That is a call for us to see, hear, and understand ourselves and give enough grace and love to say, this is really hard. What can we do about it? Let's figure out the next step together, whether it's you with yourself or you with someone else. And lastly, I'd like to just say that compassion really levels the playing fields. It makes you and me equals for that moment in time. We are not as different as we are alike. We are more the same than we are different. And by you or me bringing our vulnerability to the table and the other one responding with compassion, we see eye to eye. We don't feel intimidated or fearful or judged or insecure or insignificant or inferior. We feel just enough for that moment. We feel heard, seen, understood, and enough. And we need more people to feel like they're enough. And so I hope today you can find a moment to express compassion for you or someone else. And if you feel a wall come up, it's really as simple as asking the wall why it's there. Because there's probably a story behind the wall that's keeping it up. When there's a moment of judgment, it's a moment of judging ourselves. Equally, when there is a moment of compassion, we are also having compassion for our story. Healing happens when we connect. And the world would be a much lighter, brighter place if we learned more about connection and the significance of it and why it is required for our survival emotionally and mentally and spiritually. I hope you enjoy. enjoyed this week's episode of Curiously Enough. It was great for me to talk about compassion because if I have to explain it, then I have to understand it. And so I learn a little bit every episode that I'm on with you. So thank you for being present for this episode. Please do not forget to subscribe and share. Your love and support means so much to us, as does your feedback. Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of Curiously Enough, and we'll see you next Friday.